time away. Lord, have your way with me. Hallelujah. Brother Simon Peter. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother.
Bow heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are very grateful unto you this morning, Lord, for the wonderful opportunity we have once more to come into your presence to worship you, Lord, and to honor your name. Thank you, Lord God, for us being able to see the last Sunday of the year 2018. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness, Lord, and the many battles you fought, the victories given unto us. We ask that you will come this morning, that you help us to say something, Lord, that will help us along the way. Have your way and your will. Bless the reading of your word. Bless the pastor, Brother Elijah. Lord, wherever he is, may your grace be with him. Be with the church, the officers, Lord, the minister here, Brother James, and all of your children, even those who are not here, may you remember them. Those who may be on their way coming, may you give them traveling mercies. Be with us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an honor for us to be back in the house of the Lord to worship God this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13, we'll read verse 24. Matthew, thank you, brother. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Would thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. You may please be seated. As you are seated, I want us to turn to another scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read from verse 10. Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen. So let the reading of the scripture, but we needed to read that in order to have a background of what we're going to speak on this morning. We want to speak on prayer, the neglected weapon, prayer. Amen. The first scripture we read, we saw Jesus was speaking about, it was given a parable of a sower that went to sow a seed. And as he was speaking about the sower, he has sown some seed. The Bible says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Oh, we want to look at also the danger of sleeping on the battlefield. When you're at war, it's very dangerous to sleep. Amen. You might lose your life. You may get wounded, you know. I mean, it's just dangerous to do that. In Isaiah 56, verse 10, the prophet Isaiah was saying, his watchmen are blind. Now, they are supposed to be watchmen, but here the scripture is saying that they are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Amen. So these watchmen are supposed to be awake. They're supposed to watch for danger. You know, in the Bible days, the watchman was always on top of the tower to watch for the approaching danger. If there is the enemy coming in to attack, is there to watch when he sees the enemy, he blows the trumpet to alert the people. But here he's saying they are sleeping and they are lying down, loving to slumber. He said, yeah, they are greedy dogs which cannot have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Amen. You know, when God wants to destroy you, he'll give you a spirit of slumber. Yes, like he did Israel, the children of Israel. In Romans 11:8, we'll read a lot of scriptures and then some quotes along the way. It said, according as it is written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. So we found out that the children of Israel were given a spirit of slumber, to sleep. When you sleep, you cannot see what is coming. Amen. And so there is a danger in sleeping, especially in this hour. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6, it says, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require the watchman's hand. So the watchman's supposed to see. But if the watchman is sleeping, now when we are speaking about watchmen, it's not only the prophet is a watchman. The pastor is a watchman. The ministers are watchmen. You as a father in your home, you are a watchman. We are watchmen over our lives. But you cannot see if you are not watching. You cannot blow the trumpet if you don't see something. Jesus told the disciples, watch and pray. Fathers must be watchmen for their families, like we said. We need people also in the church that are intercessors. People that will intercede, that will stand in the gap. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 13:11, Paul was saying, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. This is not a time to sleep. If we know the time, and how do we know? We have to watch. We have to study. We have to study the signs of the time to know exactly where we are. So it's knowing the time that now it is high time we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Amen. Verse 12, it said, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Wherefore, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14, I'm reading a lot of scriptures. It said, wherefore, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly. To be a circumspect is to watch from every angle. He said, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When you are sleeping, anything is possible. Jesus gave a parable of the 10 virgins. And the Bible says 5 of them were wise and the other 5 were foolish. And the scripture says, while the bridegroom tarried, Matthew 25, verse 5, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So while they were waiting for the coming of the Lord, they all slept. But the 5 wise, though they went to sleep, they had oil in their lamps. See, but there were some, the foolish, the Bible called them foolish because they went to sleep without oil. And while they were waiting, the message went forth, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye forth to meet him. They were left behind. Why? They were sleeping. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 16, there were 2 women, they were prostitutes in the days of Solomon. The Bible says there came 2 women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the 3rd day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house save 2 in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept. And laid it in her bosom. Now notice, something happened. Now the woman is a type of the church. Praise the Lord. You know, and they have given birth to babies. But the other one lost her baby because she was sleeping. There's danger. She killed her baby while sleeping. And there's another lady also that had a child, but amen, her child was alive, but she was sleeping. Also, and while she was sleeping, the other one that killed her baby came and exchanged her child, her baby with, from the other one. And so they came before the king, and she said, and when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, he was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but this son is dead, thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. What is the sword? The word of God. We solve problems with the sword. Brother Branham was given a sword when he was praying in Sabino Canyon. A sword struck his head. He said, that is the sword of the king, which we know is the message of the hour. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we have problems, we come to the king. We come to the message. That's how we solve our problems. Now, we can go on, take off on there, but we don't want to spend some time. We just want to dwell on prayer. When she slumbered and slept, notice, there was an exchange between the dead and the living. While she slept, an enemy came. We read the scripture in Matthew. While men were sleeping, an enemy came and planted seeds. Is that right? Amen. It was during the unguarded moment. Brother Branham said in the Ephesian church age, during the unguarded moment, the enemy came and planted a seed into the church that ruined the entire church. Amen. We read Ephesians chapter 6. Paul was saying, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man, I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, I'm sorry. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think again that as he is Christ, even so are we. So we find out that the weapons of our warfare, this warfare that we are fighting, it is not a natural warfare. We look at things, he said, are you looking at things after the outward appearance? Though we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. Amen. In Ephesians 6:18, it said we should pray always with all prayer. Invisible union. Brother Branham said, what a sacred trust of responsibility. He said, the woman is a type of the church. She has the same responsibility. As a woman has a sacred responsibility to a motherhood of virtues, to a husband, the church has a sacred responsibility to prayer and to the word. And to Christ, just the same. Prayer. It's a weapon that God has given to us. But that is the most neglected weapon we use rarely in this our warfare. We come to church, we hear the word, but one thing that is lacking, and you know, just towards the year, the end of the year, the Lord has been impressing on my heart. I've been taking series on prayer in the church there in New York. Amen. And just encouraging the people to show us the importance of prayer. Because that is what is lacking in the message. And because we are not praying, we are into a lot of problems. But I want to encourage you this morning, amen, as we face 2019, amen, that God will give us grace to be able to pray. Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the house of God. And so if you are the house of God, you must be a praying person. Praise the Lord. But I mean, the message from that time, he said, the church has only got one key, and that is prayer. The church has only one key, and the prophet said, that key is what? Prayer. He said, you are a wonderful people, but you must come back first. And the key that unlocks the door. We've left the key and rushed for the door. So when you get there, you find out that the door don't open because you haven't got the key. He said, the key is prayer. But we've rushed to the door without the key. He said, in a message, key to the door, you know, a key that locks, unlocks too. The same key that locks the door, the same key unlocks the door. Amen. Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth, it is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loose in heaven. The power to bind, the power to lose has been given to the church. But we are not using it, Brother Tom. He said, you know, a key that locks unlocks too. You can loosen or bind. That is right. The same key that locks unlocks. The key that unlocks can lock up. That's exactly, see, because it works both ways. How pitiful it is that the church has ever lost its vision of that. The church has lost vision of the key. And the key is prayer. Amen. In expectation, the prophet said, I thank each one of you a few moments ago when we were singing. For you, I am praying. That's what I want to do. It is prayer that I depend on. Prophet of God said, I depend on prayer. What are we depending on today? Our finances? Our jobs? Prophet of God said, I depend on prayer. That is the secret of all the mysteries of God. Think about that. That is the key that opens the door to everything of God is prayer. The key that opens to everything of God, healing, miracles, supernatural, amen, signs and wonders, the rapture, the key is prayer. If you pray and believe, when you pray, then believe that you receive what you ask for, God will make it known. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. To be instant is to be steadfast. Continue steadfast in prayer. Her writing on the wall, he said, but we've let it come to this place with our sin and our modern living and without prayer in the church. You see? Cooling off and going away, and we've let it get to this place. We are the one that brought ourselves to these conditions, because what God has given us is word. Can we say amen? As believers, he's given us the word. He's given us a prophet. He sent us a prophet. The prophet gave us instructions, but we are not doing what we are supposed to do. He said, what we got to do is to get back into the program of God and find out, after all, what God wants us to do. And the only way I know to do it is prayer. Prayer is the key. That's the answer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that was ever put in the control of human beings. There's no atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb as powerful as prayer. Think about that. Prayer will change the mind of God. One time, Isaiah gave, thus said the Lord to the king Hezekiah, thus said the Lord, you are going to die. Put your house in order. But Hezekiah went to God in prayer. And when he prayed, God heard the prayer of Hezekiah, and God changed his mind. And he sent the prophet Isaiah, go back again to Hezekiah, tell him that he will not die. I've heard his prayer. These things are written in the scriptures so that when we apply the same principle for whatever condition or situation you are in, you will have the same result. Because we are dealing with the same God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the message, why, he said, now to you people that wanted to renew the joy of your salvation, somewhere you've lost the joy, think back what you did. Did you neglect prayer meeting? Neglect reading the Bible? Neglect praying at your home? Asking the blessing at the table? Don't never do that. If you stop praying at home, the prophet said, don't never do that. If you've neglected praying over the table before you eat, don't never do that. If you've neglected reading the Bible, he said, don't never do that. Amen. He said, that is so unbecoming to Christians. No matter where you are, bow your head and pray. Don't be ashamed of him. Pray anywhere. Today, we are becoming ashamed to even pray in the restaurant. You don't want to close your eyes because somebody, an unbeliever, is sitting next to you. So I'll just say prayer in my heart. Lord bless this food in Jesus' name. Amen. May God help us. Can I just talk to you? All right. When the church begins to pray, something happens. Prayer is the channel that God has given us to contact heaven. Prayer is a channel that we use to get a hold of God. Praise the Lord. You know, prayer is not something we do when we feel like doing it. Prayer is a necessity. Prayer is a necessity for our daily walk. It is the lifeline of the believer. The reason why the devil is taking over our children, taking over our families, taking over our homes, taking over the church, amen, entering in, because Brother Branham said there's an invasion of false and wicked spirit. The reason why is because we don't pray. The Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. If you go to Saudi Arabia or somewhere where they do be in their countries, when it is time for prayer, they close their businesses. They will refuse money. They will say, when it's time for prayer, they shut down their businesses and they go to prayer. I learned that the Jewish people pray 3 times a day. It's only Christians that have excuses. We don't pray. That is what is lacking. That is why we don't enjoy the message. We don't enjoy coming to church. It's become a form. We don't pray in our home. Some people don't pray until they come to church. But I want to speak to you about prayer tonight to show you the importance of it. I mean, this afternoon or morning, I should say. Love the Lord. The Bible says, God save my people which are called by my name. Shall humble themselves. Now, underline the word humble. If they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So from the scripture we have read, we are finding out that it is only humble people that pray. If you are not humble, you will not pray. If my people who are called by myself, by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. So it takes humility to pray. Arrogant people don't pray. Proud people don't pray. People who depend upon their personal ability, achievement, they don't pray. Oh, it's my hard work that gave me the money, but they forgot that it's God that gave you the strength to go to work. God gave you the ability to reason. I mean, it takes humility to pray. Prayer is acknowledging, the creature acknowledging to the Creator that I have need of you. Amen. When I'm praying, I'm saying to God, though I have money, but God, I still need you. Amen. Even though, amen, I'm healthy, I still need you. When we are praying, we are saying, though we are increased, but I still need you. You've given me favor, but I still need you. It doesn't matter how blessed I am, prayer is still my lifeline. Amen. Prayer should be the breath of the church. I want you to know that nothing happens on earth We may have the promises, but we need to enforce those promises by prayer. If you study the scriptures, whenever God gives a promise, he's looking for someone to pray. The children of Israel, they were in Egypt for 400 years, 430 years. But when the hour came for them to go back to their homeland, there was an inspiration that came upon one man, begin to pray, and reminded God of the promises he has made. Can we say amen? Amen? They were under oppression and they begin to pray and cry out to the Lord. We are waiting for a rapture. We are waiting for a body change. We are waiting for our adoption. But church, we are not going to go out without prayer. God is looking for men. God is looking for families. God is looking for women that you can get a hold of, hallelujah, that will go on their knees to begin to pray. God is looking for people in this assembly that will lay in the face of God, hallelujah, to intercede for this church. Amen. Amen. If you don't pray, nothing will happen. We need to pray. It is a lack in our lives. Charles Spurgeon said, "I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach." That's the important. He had a revelation of what prayer is. Another man said, "We have to pray with our eyes on God and not on the difficulties, not on our problems." Although we've received the word, the message, we have the word, in order for us to understand what we have, we need to have access to the throne of God. The only thing that gives us the authority to veto the activities of demons on earth is our connection to the throne. Through the word of God and prayer and intercession, we are fighting an enemy that we don't see. Hallelujah. So God has given us the weapon of prayer. Amen. And heaven will respond to the prayer of a righteous man or woman. Prayer unlocks the blessing because it's a key. Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So our wrestling and that we are wrestling, we are dealing with, have nothing to do with flesh and blood. But we are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Now notice here, Paul is showing us that this world is ruled by demons. Yes. This world is controlled by unseen forces. That is why you hear of Illuminati and you hear of all these secret occultic societies that some of these men got in contact with. Can we say amen? Amen? Connected with the devil in order to make decisions that we all live under. We are wrestling against principalities and rulers that are reigning in darkness. He's showing us that there are unseen beings, supernatural beings. There are celestial beings behind the scenes, working today through men and women, working through situations and circumstances to make things happen in the natural, to try to hinder you from moving forward. Those beings are trying to destroy your family. They are trying to destroy your children. They are trying to destroy your work. Can we say amen? They are trying to destroy your marriage. There are sins. There are powers behind the scenes. They want to wreck this church. They want to break this assembly. They want to hinder people from coming to church. But what is the answer of the church? The answer of the church is prayer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against super beings. Now remember, demons cannot operate without bodies. They need human bodies to operate on.
When I come into the human bodies and begin to operate through those, through your human spirit, they begin to operate through your conscience, through your imaginations, your affections. They need your emotions to work on. And the body manifests what is in you. Can we say amen? Amen. So when those spirits come and get a hold of a being, they begin to walk through your imagination. And the Bible says the wickedness of man was great on the face of the earth. Their imaginations were evil continually in the days of Noah. What was making the imagination evil? There were spirits behind the scenes. Rulers of darkness. You know, demons have intelligence that does not come from human sources. There are things that demons know that human beings don't. When Jesus was on earth, those demons knew that he was the Son of God. The religious people, when they saw him, they were calling him a devil. Is that right? In Ezekiel 28 verse 3, the Bible speaking of Lucifer said, "Thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can hide from thee." The devil is real. Demons are real. But they are powerless until they have a body to work through. Jesus one time asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He realized that though they were with him, but they never really knew or had the revelation of who he was. These rulers of darkness, they walk in darkness. The only way, amen, to overcome them is light. Whenever light appears, they lose their power. Are you with me? Remember, Paul said they are rulers of darkness. The only answer is light. The strength of darkness is the absence of light. Amen. The weakness of darkness is the appearance of light. That is why if we don't expose certain weaknesses and activities, he will take advantage of us. As long as we don't expose the strength and the weakness of our opponent, he has advantage over us. Because of our ignorance. And Paul was saying, don't be ignorant of the devices of your enemy. You love the Lord? Amen. You know, in Genesis 1, the Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light." The first thing that God did was to speak light. For light was necessary to give Elohim illumination to see what he was going to create. He could not create without light. So the spoken word is the light. Can we say amen? Amen. And the Bible says there will be gross darkness upon the face of the earth in this time. But there is a promise that there will be light about the evening time. The message of the hour is the light. Can we say amen? When you walk out of the message, you enter into darkness. And when you enter into darkness, you fellowship with demons. Very religious. We are in the hour of darkness. Paul was teaching the church or teaching us that we should not deal with the situations that we are facing. I don't know why you are confronting today. From a natural standpoint, don't deal with issues when something happens. Just don't look at them because everything is motivated by a spirit. Yes, it's true. These demons, they speak. And when you open open yourself to a demon, he will possess you. There was one man that had legion. When I look at the word legion, you know how many demons there were? 6,000. We are dealing with people today in the church, in the mercy, that are not sincere. Liars, but very religious. Very religious. But they're very hypocritical. Because the Bible says in the last days, people have a form of godliness. A form. The two spirits will be so close. It takes God to discern. And the only way to have discernment is by prayer. You love the Lord? There are beings that are walking behind the scenes, walking to try to destroy or to hinder. Your enemy is not your boss at work. Can we say amen? The real enemy is not the man that is lying on your name or saying things or insulting you. The real enemy is a spirit behind the scene. Brother Branham said here, there is nothing can happen without there is something behind it to cause it that way. There's got to be some reason for everything that takes place, because it is motivated, of course. The spirit that is in beings, in human beings and so forth, nothing happens without being a spirit behind it. Amen. He said the two vines, the false and the true, they are motivated by her spirit. We are dealing in the world today with rulers who are operating in the dark world. The underworld of devils ruling, their motive is to rule and dominate you. The only way to overcome them is by light, and light is more powerful than darkness. I said it again, when light appears, darkness loses power. Demons operate undercover. Under the cover of darkness. You watch the prayer lines. I don't have time to go into that. When the people will come in the presence of Brother Branham, he said, you have a dark cloud over you. You are shadowed to death. Revelation 9:6, when the pit was opened, there was smoke that came out. Out of the smoke were locusts, demons. And Brother Branham said that the world today, the atmosphere is contaminated with devils. They are coming through the internet, through YouTube, through all these social media. And people are possessed with evil spirits. So Paul is, what did David say? David said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Paul is trying to stop us to, to teach us to stop dealing with situations that confront us from a natural perspective. Amen. Demons are powerless without a body. Sometimes, when they're about to be casted out, they don't want to leave. They beg. Because they like to hide and operate. Remember the maniac of Gadara? When Jesus wanted to cast those demons. Demons are also territorial. Yeah. But Abraham said they are nations have spirit. He said they are family spirits. The prophet said so. Some people don't believe in that. But I believe the prophet. But Abraham said they are family spirits. They are national spirit. They are tribal spirits. And those things influences our lives. So when we become Christians, we are no more Africans, we are no more Americans, we are Christians. We are from another kingdom. Some people are very tribal. Yeah, Christians. Very traditional. Amen. But Abraham said, don't forget this church.
you brethren on tape, I want you to examine this. How could men do anything else beside the power of God that has been released to them? Even as a Christian, you can't do anything without a power released to you. Love the Lord. Just like God needs a body to operate, the devil needs a body to operate also. God dwells in light. Now, Brother Branham said, here, let's give a little picture here, a little mental picture. Here is a stream right through here, right down through this way, coming down through life. Now watch, it is a channel. Give me your undivided attention now, so you won't miss this. So it's very important what he's going to say. Write down like this. Now, in the little channel here dwells mortal beings. This is the earth. You and I dwell here. Now, in there, let's look what it is. It is a mass of folly and everything else. But once in a while, you see a light. You see blackness and streets and gaiety and carrying on. Devils getting the people. Oh, they dress fine. My, highly cultured. As they can be polished colors, but still the devil. There is born again sitting in there. Now these people in this channel is influenced from two different sides. One up here, there is Christians influenced from above. This is a parable. Up here is another ghost, the Holy Ghost, the ghost of a man, Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost influences his church in this realm of mortal. The devil by this spirit influences men. Now look, the next is angels, the next is God. Now every mortal here is influenced by one of these worlds. There is no in between. You are either influenced by God or influenced by the devil. Amen. Now I want us to look at Daniel, the prophet Daniel. When you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel was in Babylon for about, they've been there for 68 years. And when the time came for them to go home, Daniel went back to the book of Jeremiah and began to read the books of Jeremiah. And Daniel said, as he was reading, he understood by books. Understanding coming by reading the books. Amen. When you are reading the message, you are reading the scriptures, you are reading the word, you compare the signs. Because there are things that are spoken. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen. So as we are reading, we are watching. Because he said, watch and pray. Daniel was watching. Daniel was reading scriptures. Daniel was going into the message of Jeremiah. And as he was reading the books and studying the books, he understood by books. Now the time has come for them to go back. And then what did that do? He did not just end there, but he went to fasting and praying. Now when Daniel was in Babylon, there was a king named Darius. Darius was the king over the kingdom of Persia. Correct? Amen. And Daniel, when he understood that it was time for them to go, Daniel began to fast and pray. And friends, when Daniel began to pray, there was conflict in the heavens. Yes. Heaven responded to the prayers of Daniel. When you pray, you move heaven. When a saint begins to pray, hallelujah, angels begin to walk. Because we are in a warfare. So as Daniel was fasting and he was praying, God responded. But there are demons, principalities and powers that was trying to interrupt the move of God. There was a stronghold in the kingdom of Persia.
There was a demon that was influencing the nation. He was called the Prince of Persia. Nobody knew about him. But the prayers of Daniel revealed the Prince of Persia. Your prayers will expose what is happening around you. Can we say amen? When things begin to go wrong, and you begin to fast and pray, God will reveal to you the source of the problem. But you know what? We don't pray. We don't fast. And we begin to deal with things just naturally, and that is where we fail. When Daniel was praying, the angel Gabriel was on his way coming to Daniel. And angel Gabriel was interrupted by a spirit known as the Prince of Persia. Daniel, the first day he prayed, never saw his prayer answered. But Daniel did not stop praying. He continued praying. Because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. If you are praying for a need and you don't see the need answer, that is no sign that you should stop praying, the prophet said. We should continue to pray. If things are going worse, pray. Amen. When you are wake up in the morning, pray. Before you get in your car, pray. Before you come to church, pray. When you get out of church, pray. Can we say amen? Amen. When your children are in school, pray. When you're about to go to work, pray. We must have a constant prayer life. But today, message believers, today Christians, we have a prayerless life. We don't pray. Seriously. It's a problem in the message. Brother Branham said here, well, the scripture I believe in some place says, devils tremble when the weakest of saints go to their knees. What a power and a privilege has been given to the church of the living God. Prayer is a power. Amen. Prayer is a privilege that God has given you. But we are living under our privileges. We are not praying the way we ought to pray. We don't even have family altars anymore. As when Gabriel came, he revealed a secret to Daniel. He said, Daniel, from the very first day you began to pray, your prayer was heard. He said, but when I was coming, I was withstood by the Prince of Persia. So when we begin to pray, there's a conflict that is going on in the heavens. There's a conflict behind the scenes. But the prophet has given us such, he showed us the importance of prayer. And what takes place, he said, prayer. Amen. When you pray, hell begin to shake. And many times when I go on my knees to pray, that is the time the devil begin to remind me of legitimate things that I need to do. Satan will throw a lot of things because why your prayer is affecting. Yes. Look, you don't have to be a preacher. Yes. You don't have to be a prophet. Brother Bram said, the weakest of you here this morning. Amen. When you fall on your knees and begin to call upon the name of the Lord, something is happening in the supernatural. That is why Satan hinders you from praying. The prayers of Daniel was being hindered. But Daniel, though he never saw his prayer answered, he continued praying. Imagine if Daniel was to stop the 20th day. He wouldn't have gotten his answer. He continued praying until he received his answer from God. And as he was praying, amen, his prayer was ascending to God, and for about 20 days, the Prince of Persia have withstood, but the prayers were ascending. God decided to send reinforcement. Hallelujah. Can we say amen?
Glory.
Amen. From heaven, Michael himself,
yes,
the chief of defense, the Secretary of Defense in heaven, hallelujah, the master himself, the man of war, came on the scene. Amen. To unblock. Hallelujah. Your prayers can unblock the hindrances. What you are praying, amen. Kingdoms, the powers of the enemy is shaking. When you are praying, amen, things are taking place. You just don't know what happens when you're on your knees praying. He said, if only you knew what time in prayer means. These demons, they come into the church to hinder our worship. Yeah. To make us just feel lukewarm and, you know. Devils are responsible for that. Gabriel was telling Daniel, the only reason I made it, because he did not give up on your prayer. Don't give up praying.
No.
Now, before then, all we knew, before the prayer of Daniel, all we knew that there was a king in Babylon named Darius. But the angel revealed that even though there was a natural king in the kingdom of Persia, whose name was Darius, there was an unseen ruler whose name was the Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia was the one that was influencing the government, the decisions of Persia. And as long as Darius was there as a king, the children of Israel were not going to go back. Study the Bible very well. But when Daniel was praying and he dealt with the situation in the supernatural realm, Darius was also taking off the scene. Then came another king, I think by the name of Cyrus. Can we say amen? Because Daniel had already dealt with the heavenlies, with the supernatural. And God now put in the heart of this king to support their going back, the rebuilding of the temple. You study the scriptures. We don't have time to go into that. The unseen ruler was the one who was in charge, and the natural ruler, whose name was Jehovah, just performing, doing what he was influenced to do. People will do things. People make decisions at work sometimes because of you. They will send out a memo for you to be hindered from coming to church. The reason why things are going the way is because of the believer. But what do? Should we just sit and accept everything that comes? No! Prayer can change the situation.
Amen.
If you pray and you have a boss that tries to stand in the way, God, your prayer can move that boss out of that position. But the reason why we are defeated, we accept everything that comes our way. We are in a warfare.
Right.
Do not just judge things by the natural. We are living in a time of possession. I'm telling you. And the demons that we are living with, they are very religious. They come to church. They wear nice clothing. They can also sing very nice. But they are devils. How do you know them? By their fruits. In Ezekiel 28, we know the scripture. The Bible speaks of the prince of Tyrus. Another prince. Take up a lamentation concerning this. Abraham said, when he read that scripture, Ezekiel 28, he said, watch. He said, son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyrus. Say unto him, thus said the Lord God. The prophet said, now watch, he's speaking to the spirit in the king. See, thou said the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. He said, Satan there. See how Satan was almost beautiful, the archangel. thou hast been in Eden. He said, now you know the king of Tyrus at that time could not have been in Eden. For he was 4,000 years before that. Thou hast been in Eden. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Satan in that king. So if Satan was in the king, whatever the king was doing, he was not the king. It was Satan that was doing it. But Abraham said, but he was. And the devil was kicked out of heaven. And every purpose that he tried to purpose in heaven, he came right down here on earth and he's trying his best to fulfill what he purposed. Listen, he goes to the kings and to rulers. When he can get them, then he comes right down to the church and get the people. Or gets the preacher. Then from the preacher, he goes right into the congregation and gets the congregation under the same influence. The same devil doing the same things. That is why you need to pray for the ministry. The church must be a praying church. Can we say amen? Amen. If there's anybody that is the most targeted person in this church will be Pastor Elijah. His family is under target. His children are under target. What should the church do? Pray. Don't be an instrument in the hands of the devil. You know what I realized? I come to realize and to see why sometimes, look, God will allow his prophet to live an isolated life. They don't live among the people. When they come down, they come with thus said the Lord. And they go back. Because as people begin to increase, Satan have many tools to use against you. Yeah. But Reverend Branham says, when cities begin to increase, it says sin increase. Because if you can't use this vessel, you will use that vessel. If he wants to get to the church, he will try to weaken the pastor. If he can get the man, he will attack the children. And the children are born again. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Until they have the Holy Ghost, you need to pray for them. Can we say amen? Amen. It's more of a target than anybody in this assembly. But today, our problem is we talk a lot and we don't pray. Your prayer can change things around here. Do you believe that? If we wake up and pray, things will begin to change. When do you close? 12? When do you close 12? Huh? Yeah, okay, I'll try to close. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll try to wind up. The devil uses people. Enticing spirit, he said, enticing spirit, go forth, demons, under disguise. Look, we are in the last days. We are in the end time. That is what Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. There are forces that are at work against you, against your family. But when we go on our knees and begin to pray sincerely, things will begin to shift. Hallelujah. And the devil will bow. But Abraham said, prayer is the most powerful force that God ever put in the hands of man. It's a sincere prayer offered to God. But sometimes, most things we deal with them, and sometimes you don't seem to understand why are things happening the way they are. In the family, in the business, at your work.
Oh, this man doesn't like me. This one hit me. Sometimes your business is prospering, and the enemy just come in to hinder your business. We become relaxed. We don't pray. I've taken serious. I'm still dealing with prayer. Look, if you study the life of Jesus, it was a life of prayer. The Bible says, I don't have time to read scriptures, but I will just quote it. It said, Jesus went to the mountain and prayed all night. Before he came and walked on top of the sea, he came from a prayer meeting. Before he goes out and casts demons, he always goes to pray. He prayed all the time. If you read the scriptures, the Bible says when many people were coming into baptism, but when Jesus came to his baptism, the scripture says he came praying. And saying, while he was praying, heaven opened. Prayer opens the heavens. Prayer opens doors. It's a key. You love the Lord. You know, one of the main reasons of preaching the gospel is to cause you to pray. That's where the word is preached. Let me give you a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This word to call means to cry out, to invoke. So whoever invokes, we invoke the name of the Lord by prayer. Ask anything in my name. Yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Are you hearing me now? Yes. The preacher, the preaching of the gospel, the end result is to cause you to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. When the word comes, it pricks your heart, it causes you to pray. It causes you to repent. It causes you to call upon the Lord. As some of you will go out of this service today, going back home, and you begin to go back into prayer. That's what the preaching of the gospel does. Amen. Causes you to pray because God enjoys when his children pray to him. God wants to have fellowship with you. God wants to have a relationship with you. Can we say amen? He speaks to you by his word and expects you to speak back to him. The Bible says he is the high priest of our confession. He is there right now as a high priest. But he does nothing until you confess it. Amen. He does nothing until you ask. James said, is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. If you are sick, call for the elders of the church. You may be afflicted with something. When you are afflicted, you need to pray. That's the solution. But when we are afflicted, what do? We complain. We murmur. We grumble. But he says, is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Pray. He didn't say let him sing. Pray. Jesus, when he was about to go to the cross, he spent a lot of time praying. He left the disciples. He said, stay here. And the Bible says he went a little further. As a leader, as a father, as a parent, you need to go a little bit farther in prayer. No matter what is happening in the home, what is happening around the family, you go further into prayer. Jesus, when he prayed for 1 hour,
and he came back, he found them sleeping. He said, "Can't you watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." He went back again and prayed another hour. He came back. They were sleeping again. Watch and pray. The third time he came, Jesus, if you read another account, Luke was saying when he was praying, he was so much in prayer that the sweat that was dropping was like blood. Why would he just sit, "Well, I'm the Son of God, I don't need to pray, anything can happen"? The scripture has said, no, he needed to pray. If Jesus had to pray, how much more about you and myself? But we are used to just coming to church, we sing some songs, "God bless you, God bless you," and we go home. Sometimes we don't show up again until the next Sunday. We don't even pray over the word that we heard. We spend our time too much on social media. Right? Too much on the internet. And these things have taken our time. No desire to read the word. No desire to pray. This is a big subject I'm speaking about. You know, I'm just, look, if you study the church in the beginning, they were praying church all the time. Jesus, as soon as he came out of baptism, he went straight to the mountain to fast and pray. Fasting is not even in our vocabulary today. 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. I read somewhere, I was so shocked, Brother Branham, he said he would go in the cave during the winter when he was below zero. He would be there, he would put on some, you know, insulated winter wears. He said he would be there for days fasting and praying. And church, it was always when Brother Branham was praying, the angel of the Lord will come. Before he received the sword in Sabino, he was in prayer. He said, "My hands were up and the sword struck his hand." Study his life. When he had questions concerning his ministry, he left. He said, "Look, I have $25. I think it was. I'm going to give you a check. I will not come back until I hear from God." After his mother died, he went in the cave. He was praying. His life was a life of prayer. Before he comes to the meetings, I have the quotes here. I don't have time to read it. But he was saying that he will fast for days and pray. Yes. We enjoy the result. We see signs and wonders and miracles. But the secret is prayer. Hallelujah. Yes. You have to win the battle first in the spirit realm before you win it naturally. If you cannot overcome the devil in that realm, in that unseen world, you are already defeated. May God help us. May God give us grace. If things are going wrong in the church, let's cease talking about it. Let us stop shifting blames. You have a responsibility to pray. Do you love him?
Yes.
May God help us as we enter 2019, that God will put a burden in our heart to pray. If you don't pray, I'm telling you, you'll miss the rapture.
Amen.
We already have the word, but we need to back it up with prayer. The reason we make too much excuses, because we are not praying. Prayer is the key. Jesus started his ministry with prayer. He ended with prayer. Even at the cross, he was praying. "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken?" Even in his agony, he was praying. We need to be constantly in prayer. When you are driving, you need to pray. Don't think because of your smartness you are a good driver, that is why you don't make accidents. It's the grace of God. It's not even your smartness, because there are people who are, you know, drug addicts out there, demon possessed, who crossed Brother Branham. It was a drunken devil. Before you step out of your home, you need to pray. You may be in the wrong place, the wrong time, where somebody will just walk and begin to shoot. It's happening every day. The only thing that is covering us is our prayers. But when the devil wants to kill you or destroy your life, he kills your prayer life. He takes your prayer life. We are too busy about other things. We give our time to a lot of things, but we give no time to prayer. That is why we don't see miracles. We don't see signs and wonders. We don't see, you know, we talk about God of history. But where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God? Yes. The anointing, the mantle, hallelujah, can we say amen, upon of Elijah came upon Elisha. And we are the Elishas of today. Church, in my spirit, I can feel the city is very near. Yes, it's very close. We need to wake up and start praying. You can make a commitment as the years end. Lord, I'm just going to give you 10 minutes every day. Time yourself. Most of the time I look at the watch before I go to pray. And I pray. When I stop praying, I see when I... Sometimes I pray for 3 hours, sometimes 2 hours, sometimes an hour. But we need to be praying. Because if we don't pray, some of us, the devil wants to finish us. Devil wants to take. If the devil can stop you, he will stop you. But the only thing that you must do, we should do, is pray. You love the Lord?
Amen.
With prayer, you overcome. Let's stand to our feet. I trust that these few words is an encouragement to you. Amen. Amen. We need to pray. If we are praying before we come to church, our services will be better. Is that right? But Benham said church begins at home. Pray before you come to church. Let's bow our heads. Let's think on these things that we've heard. Prayer is a weapon, but we've neglected it. Believers are not praying. The church is not praying. Yes, the rapture is upon us. The age is in a lukewarm condition. But you don't have to be in that condition. Your prayer can change things around you. Prayer, the prophet said, is the key. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Are the potter, I am the clay. You are the I am the clay. Mold me and make me. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like.
Let's take a moment, each and every one of us, go before the Lord in prayer. Speak to Him in your own way. Ask the Lord to help you to revive your prayer life. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, take me out of this lukewarm condition. Make me more like you. Make me a prayer warrior. Make me a priest. Amen. Make me an intercessor. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to be a prayer warrior. Amen. Not saying a prayer, but praying from your heart. Praying the Lord to change you. Praying the Lord to deliver you. Praying the Lord, amen, that doors will open, that God will come in. Hallelujah. When the church prays, angels will come. Hallelujah. When Peter was in prison, the church was praying and the angel of the Lord descended. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they were praying and the angel of the Lord came. Amen. The prison opened the prison doors. If you are praying today, God can open prison doors around you. God will remove all the hindrances that are in the way. Let's speak to Him. Lord, we thank you and we worship you today. Appreciate you, Lord God, for the portion of your word that we have, O God Almighty, receive, O God, on prayer. Lord, we ask that you help us to be a prayer, Lord, a praying group, a praying church, a praying family, Lord. Praying men, praying women, praying boys and praying girls, Lord. Praying ministers, Lord. Praying officers, Lord. Praying, Lord God Almighty, children that will pray and cry out, Heavenly Father, to you, Lord. Because it's a weapon that you've given unto us, Lord. How the devil, Lord, has come in to try to make us lukewarm, formal, and powerless. But we are praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you take, give us grace, hallelujah, to use the weapon of prayer, Lord. Lord Jesus, that we're able to be men and women, dear Lord, that will be on fire for you like the church in the beginning was a church of prayer, dear Master. Lord, take away all the weaknesses of the flesh and give us grace to pray and not to faint. We're so thankful unto you, dear Lord Jesus. I pray that the Holy Ghost, Lord, will remove every lukewarmness out of our life. That the Holy Ghost, dear Lord, will remove away all the spirits of slumber, dear Lord. Lord, that we be a people that will pray always and never cease praying, Lord. We want to thank you and we love you. Give us grace, Lord God, and help us. We love you and honor you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, in my heart, Lord, be glory. In my heart.
God bless you, brother. Thank you. Be glorified today. Sing it again. Oh, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified in my life, Lord. Be glorified today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Simon Peter. It's needed. Prayer is needed.
Amen.
Needed more than anything. You cannot underestimate that. Amen. Jesus. Number 34, I need you more. Amen. Just sing a song or two, then we'll pray and go. Amen. I need you more. Oh, more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. Oh, more than words can say. I need you more. Oh, than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you more. Sing that again. I need you more. So much more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. Oh, more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you more. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat. Oh, more than anything, and Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side. 'Cause I never want to go back to my old life. Oh, teach us to pray, Lord, and need you more. Oh, more than yesterday, I need you, Lord. Oh, more than words can say, I need you more. Oh, than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you more. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for my precious brother Simon. Lord, I pray that you would protect his family and protect him, Lord. May your angels guard about him, Lord. And Lord, may we learn to pray, Lord, to ask protection and to ask your angels to guard. Lord, may we not just put it on you, Lord, but may we pray for their ministers that are such a blessing to us, Lord, that the demons would be kept away, Lord, that try to influence and that try to destroy. Lord, I just pray you bless each and every person here that made it out today, Lord, and that you would that we would think on these things during the week, and that we would learn to pray, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the mistakes that we've made and for the slothfulness in prayer, Lord, and help us to change that we might learn to pray and learn to draw close to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed. Let's try 160. Feel free to go when you're ready. I'm falling in love with Jesus. It's key of D. Amen. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with my Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, in his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected, no. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Prayer, help us to get there. Amen. Oh, I'm falling in love with my Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing he's ever done. In his arms, I feel protected. Thank you, Lord. In his arms, I'm never disconnected, no. In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. That's why I'm falling in love with Jesus.